Hello, my name's Kate Rowles and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part of Anthony Gormey's artwork One and Other.
Yep.
The date today is the 28th of August 2009 and the time is 8:10 a.m. If I can please ask you to say your full name, your age and where you come from.
My name is David John Gillespie Preston. I'm 37 years old and I come originally from Christchurch in New Zealand.
How are you today?
Slightly afraid. Just a wee bit, yeah.
Can I ask, first of all, what was it initially that motivated you to take part in One Another?
When I first heard about it, I thought it was just the most brilliant idea. It was on the television. I thought, that is a tremendous idea. I would love to be a part of that. I didn't know what I would be doing, but I just thought that's really good, the idea of a snapshot of a moment in time in Great Britain. I really loved it because, you know, I'm in Great Britain, and I thought, why not be a part of that if you can?
Brilliant. And when you decided that you were going to accept your place, how did you decide how to spend your hour on the plinth?
Oh, I spent a lot of time wondering about what I was going to do. And really, I've run through a million different ideas about what to do. And then I've been watching what other people have been doing as well. And I've thought, oh, no, I can't do that because someone else has done it. And then I started to worry about the people who are Twittering, and I was thinking, oh no, I can't do that because it might be Twee and the Twitterites will have me for that. So what I've decided to do is I'm going to be playing some sounds from New Zealand because I'm a bit of a patriot. I don't want to be jingoistic about it, but I think that New Zealand has quite a low profile in Great Britain in comparison to our nearest neighbour Australia, and I think that we deserve a higher profile. So I'm just going to raise New Zealand's profile just that tiny, teeny little bit while I'm here, if I can.
And you've got some sounds from New Zealand. What are the sounds that you have today?
Well, I've got some bird sounds, because I really like the idea of bird sounds in Trafalgar Square, because you don't get those natural sounds in the centre of London. And I've got some sounds, some sort of audio history from New Zealand's history. Which everything means something to me. Most of it will be meaningless, I think, to the British audience. But if there should be any Kiwis out there listening, they'll recognise some of them. And then there's some songs that I've just picked because I like them, and I've put them in the middle here and there. And they all have a meaning for me. But once again, I think the vast majority of people listening probably won't have heard them.
What are the songs? Could you name a couple of them?
There's a song called Beth's Song by a band called Voom. Now, they're an Auckland band. It's an old song now. It's about 10 years old, I think. It's a very sweet song. And there's a song by Lyndon Puffin and the Bleeding Hearts called Stuff Like That. And that's very evocative for me. And there's a song called Home Again by a band called She Had, which is a really, really nice song. Always used to get me dancing when I went to see them. If you know what I mean, yeah.
Is this music that you've grown up with?
Yeah, it's New Zealandish music, to use a neologism. It is music that I've grown up with. It's music from the 90s. I've got some Bruno Lawrence in there as well from the 1970s, from my childhood. And I did think about playing the theme tune from the 1974 Commonwealth Games, which was in Christchurch, but then I thought that was just going a bit too far, so I'm not playing that one. But the Bruno Lawrence is about as far back as the music is going, and that's about 1973. A song called Dance All Around the World, which is a hippie song. I'm not a hippie, but I don't mind playing a hippie song every now and again.
And how are you feeling about going up there now?
Oh, I've still got the fear. I'm quite apprehensive. I hope that I will enjoy it. I think that I most probably will, but I am quite apprehensive. I'm worried about the height, and I'm worried about my image being used anywhere in the universe ad infinitum. I'm worried that if I should do something particularly silly, that it'll be repeated until I die and beyond. So I have some worries, but I'm actually looking forward to it as well. So it's not. It's not all fear. There's a positive, pleasant apprehension as well, you know, that kind of butterflies in the stomach when you know that you're about to do something really cool. So I've got that.
And what kind of experience experience are you hoping to get out of taking part in this work?
That's a toughie. I don't know. I want to be able to say I stood on the plinth in Trafalgar Square. And I know that when this particular project is wrapped up, there'll be another New Zealander standing on the plinth, Keith Park, which I really like. I really like that. So I can say, yes, I was there before Keith Park. Now, he's not permanent, and he won't be there permanently, and neither am I. But I just really like the idea of having stood on a plinth in Trafalgar Square and looked out from that viewpoint, because that is a unique viewpoint. And this is that moment. You know, they might do something like this again in 100 years, but this is that particular moment, and I'm quite excited to be part of that moment. I think that's quite a special thing.
And who have you brought with you today?
I've brought my lover and partner, Paula, without whom I'd be a quivering mess, and not just today. And she's off buying sandwiches at the moment, I think. So, but yep, I brought her with me, and she is a marvel, a wonder, a pearl amongst women.
And you're from New Zealand, but you're in the UK. How did you come to be in the UK?
Long story. Not particularly long. I hold a British passport. My father was Scots, so I have I'm British. I have a British passport, but I was born in New Zealand. And my lovely partner Paula, her sister lives in London and has done so for some number of years. And she and Paula and her brother are orphans, and so Paula's very keen to spend time with her sister, and her sister is absolutely lovely and a tremendous cook. And so we came from New Zealand to spend time with Justine, and also for hopefully some career development for Paula and I. And just because both of us had really put off, there's a tradition in New Zealand of doing your big OE, your big overseas experience. And both of us had put that off. For each of us, something had always come up, so we'd be planning to go, and then something would come up, and we'd end up doing something in New Zealand or Australia. And it just seemed like the right time to come over, and so we did.
And how are you finding the UK?
I find the UK particularly difficult. Yes. The people on the whole are absolutely brilliant. I mean, the British people are marvellous people, but London is a special case. And the niceties, the everyday niceties that make the social lubrication, the politenesses, have disappeared in London. And that saddens me. And it makes it more difficult. When we first arrived, Paulie and I had terrible trouble just walking through a crowded street, because people will not adjust their movements, even minutely. And that this, for me, is very difficult, because where I come from, we try and get along with each other, and we don't have this particular density of population. So, it's been difficult to adjust. I'm used to it now. I wouldn't say I was inured to it, but I'm more used to it than I was. But I still find it quite difficult, because when you get out of London, people are so open and friendly. But in London, people are so closed down, you know, and they're just trying to get from where they're going, you know, from where they've been to where they're going. They don't want to know about how they're getting there. They don't want to see anything while they're on the way. And I can understand that, but it also makes me really sad, because there's a lot to see.
And how long have you been in the UK?
Coming up for 3 years, yes. We arrived in 2007. Early 2007, and it was a really nice time to arrive, actually. The weather was lovely, briefly. There was a brief burst of beautiful weather, and I thought, everything's going to be fine, there's blossom on the trees, and everyone was kind of wearing a half smile, walking around, and I thought that was really nice. But then the nice weather went away, and we didn't have much of a summer that year, and didn't have much of a summer last year. This year's been better. Yeah, but so about coming up to 3 years.
And have you been based in London?
Yes. We've moved around a wee bit in London. We started off in Fulham, which was an interesting place to live. Quite pleasant, you know, perfectly reasonable place to live. And then we moved to Roehampton, to an estate, a tower block, which was very much an eye opener for us. And one thing I found really sad about that tower block is one of the, you know, it had been sold, you know, the privatisation in 1980s, you know, selling off the council houses. And all these old people had obviously bought their flats then. And since then, the tower block had gone downhill. And these people had four or five locks on their doors. And if you got in the lift with somebody, an older person, they would tense up and kind of move away. And things like that, I found really sad. The idea that these sort of embattled elderly living out the remainder of their lives behind all these locks in a tower block and scared to get in the lift, I found really sad, to be honest. But then, but we had a great view over Wimbledon Common and Richmond Park. So that was nice. Then we moved to East Dulwich, which is much more my speed, much quieter than Fulham or Roehampton, and really quite a pleasant place to live. It's got a more of a sense of community than I found in Fulham, or Roehampton, to be honest. But we weren't in Roehampton for long enough to really know. Yeah, but I can kind of dig East Dulwich. It's quite nice. It's got a nice park. It's got trees, you know.
You said you wanted to help with your career development coming to the UK. How has that worked out?
Not at all. Not at all. Our timing has been abysmal for me. Perhaps not so brilliant for Paula either. But I'm a political scientist. And because I'm sort of age and grade, if you know what that means. Some people will, some people don't. I'm too old for the jobs that I'm looking for, which means that that's my excuse anyway. I've not been able to get a job in that field, which I find really sad. I mean, I've worked for a think tank and I've done some research for people, but I thought I'd come over here and I'd find somebody to work for. And I'll work for free to get my foot in the door, and I'll work for really cheap for a really long time in order to build up my network, yeah? But I just have not been able to get a network built. And coming up for 3 years, that's quite frustrating. So I've taken some jobs that I wouldn't normally have taken, and they've been amazingly frustrating. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, this is the time that we're in, and I am who I am, so not to worry. I'll just go with plan B, which I'm not sure what that is exactly yet. I'm working on something, but it's very early days yet. But I've kind of given up on trying to get into the political arena here. I don't want to be a politician, but I thought that I could provide some useful insights. And I also thought that when I returned to my home country, it would be useful to have a network over here, because Great Britain and New Zealand have a very long-standing association, although Great Britain would appear to have completely forgotten about that since it's joined the European Union, or the EEC. But still, there is, you know, my parents' generation, or my mother's generation, their parents, they referred to Great Britain as home. They thought of Britain as home. And two generations of New Zealanders were used up on the battlefields of North Africa and Europe for that sentiment. And so I think it's important that we maintain that relationship between not just Britain and New Zealand, but also New Zealand and Europe. Because, quite frankly, Britain and Europe owes us, which is kind of how I feel about it. I mean, I could go on about that for a long time, but I won't, because it just gets a bit mad.
Can you say a little bit about your being a political scientist and what that involves, or what kind of work you have done in your field?
I haven't worked in my field. That's the thing. I've got a degree. I did some research at home, and I've done some very, very briefly some research work here. And I put together I did the numbers on something for a Lib Dem, one of the Lib Dem people. And he kind of stitched me up, actually, because he... I did the numbers, he wrote it, he did the analysis. My numbers were nice and solid, his analysis was not quite so solid. And he did put me down as a co-author, which I thought was quite nice at the time, but looking back on it, he didn't actually stitch me up, because his work wasn't as solid as it should have been. It meant that he used my name, obscure as it is, as kind of a backup for his work. And it means that the very few references to me, it means that my work has been tarnished as it were. So I find that really annoying now. And this guy also, I did a lot of work for him for free, and sort of in the hope that there would be some kind of quid pro quo, which was not forthcoming, which I also found quite irritating. So long and the short of it is, I will most probably go back to study and do something else. I mean, the political science degree has been, it's been tremendous because it's confirmed to me some of my suspicions about the nature of our political structure, the Westminster political structure. But it's not been particularly useful. So it's in a, sort of an expensive side road, dead end maybe.
How about outside of your studies and your working life? What sort of, how do you like to spend your time?
I'm a tinkerer. I very much miss, at home I have lots of tools, and I didn't bring them with me because they weigh hundreds of kilos, and I really miss them. I really miss having my tools. I like to get my hands dirty. I like to work on machinery. I like, so I miss that. Here I spend an enormous amount of time reading. I spend a fair bit of time on the internet, watch too much telly. So yeah, really non-productive time. Like, I hate to sound down, but it's like I've had 3 years of non-productive time, and I haven't been doing a lot of stuff that I really enjoy. So, not wanting to sound too self-pitying, but you know, I've found Great Britain to be quite difficult. At home, as I say, I've got these tools, and I could, wherever I lived, I'd have space to have my tools, and I could play with things. You know, so even if I had nothing to do, I could take a piece of broken machinery and fix it, which would give me some satisfaction, yes. But I can't do that here because I don't have any tools, I don't have any space, and I don't have a garden either, which is, it's terrible.
So how are you going to, in the future, do you think you're going to stay in the UK for much longer?
Not a huge amount of time longer, no. Unless, well, I'm constantly looking for things to do, but unless I can find something to do, I will have to go home if for nothing else but for the sake of my sanity. I mean, you can spend a lot of time, there's tremendous galleries in London, there's a lot of good stuff to do, but it's not work, you know, and I need the satisfaction of having done something, produced something, even if it is menial, busy work. I need that occupation, and really I'm getting towards the limit for me, and I think my partner's feeling pretty much the same. She's got a slightly more satisfying job, but I'm not sure. I think she's a bit dissatisfied with her job, but I shouldn't really talk about what she's up to.
And what's important for you in terms of your future, to your ambitions?
Well, I always thought that I'd make a difference in the world. Well, I thought I'd be dead by now, but for the last few years, I thought I could make a difference in the world. I had a very, very misspent, ill-spent youth. I was a flibbertigibbet all through my 20s, and I had a great time. I don't regret it, because I think all those people who have their midlife crisis because they've never done the things they wanted to do, well, I did the things I wanted to do in my 20s, so I don't feel too bad about that. But I would like to have made some difference in the world. I don't want to be remembered as such, except by my family. But I want to know that I haven't just taken up space and resources, you know, that I have done something positive. I think that'll be quite a positive thing. I'm not exactly sure what that would be, but, you know, I've got another 20, 30, 40 years left, hopefully.
And today you're standing on the fourth plinth. What do your friends and family think about you doing this?
I think they're a wee bit excited about it. Some of them will be watching at home, because it's Friday evening there. Paulie's quite excited. Judd's not particularly excited. I think she's a bit excited for me. I don't know. I really couldn't say exactly what they're thinking about it. I'll certainly be getting feedback probably tomorrow, or when I read my emails later today, I'll be getting the feedback. But I couldn't say what they're thinking about it right now, because we haven't really talked about it too much. And I've just let them know what's going on, and sort of they can watch if they want. You, if you, yeah.
Who are you doing this for?
Oh, I'm doing it for myself. Yeah. Oh, well, I, you could say a lot of stuff about that. I mean, that's what you, ultimately, most people do everything for themselves, don't they? Whatever they might tell themselves. No, I'm definitely doing it for myself. I'm doing it because I wanted to do it. And I'm doing it because I think it's a cool thing to do. Not as in people will think I'm cool for doing it, but it is a cool thing to have done.
And is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I think I've talked enough.
Thank you very much.
Not at all, not at all.